Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living grid locked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Today, let me start it this way. Have any of you ever been driving on Santa Rosa Boulevard, Highway 1, if you're coming from Morro Bay, on maybe a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, and looked over to your left or to your right to Santa Rosa Park and seen something going on over there? Are those guys fighting? There's 20 guys over there, and they look like they have swords. What's happening? Well, I have, and I've wondered about it, and I've talked to friends about it probably for like 2 or 3 years, and I've been back in San Luis now for almost 10, and I guess a little over 10 now, and for the last two, three, four years, I've said, man, I really want to talk to those guys, those LARPers, those live action role player guys, and it just so happens that I actually met one of them, and he joins me today on the podcast. It's Larry Pena. He's the editor of Cal Poly Magazine. I've written a few pieces for Cal Poly Magazine over the last year or two, and when I became Facebook friends with Larry, he posted that he was going to Santa Rosa Park, and he posted about it, and I said, is this something that you do? He said, yeah. I said, come talk to me about it. So I went and took some pictures that I actually still haven't edited. It's been one of those years, and I wanted to have him on the podcast and chat about it. Larry, what's going on?
Not much. Thank you for having me over here. This is awesome.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for coming. I know it's a palatial garage studio. I'm going to ask that you get like super close to the microphone, like uncomfortably probably is the way that I describe it to people, but it's all good. Larry, like I said, is the editor of Cal Poly Magazine, and somebody who I wanted to kind of ask some really dumb questions to, because I come at this from a place of seeing the movie with McLovin.
Role models.
Yeah. So like, I loved that movie, and I don't know how accurately it portrayed anything, but I really did enjoy it, and I went and watched a little bit of a few games that you guys played like a month or two ago, and I wanted to just kind of ask some general questions about it. Like I said, Larry's the editor of Cal Poly Magazine. That's how I know him, but he's also a crack shot with the bow and arrow out at Santa Rosa Park. So, yes. So how did you get into live action role play? Like how do, what's the kind of natural progression for people, I guess, as they get into the community to showing up on a Saturday dressed in full garb with, with arrows, with like socks tied around the end, so you don't actually poke somebody's eye out.
It gets real elaborate. The way I got into it was pretty much the way most people get into it, which is, you see role models, you get curious to yourself, and you start doing a little Googling. What the hell?
So you didn't do that before? Like, it wasn't something that was on your radar before role models?
Yeah, I'm pretty recent. I started, I think, in like 2014.
Okay.
So I've only been doing it for a couple of years. And there are people at my park that have been doing it for 15, 20 years. So, I mean, this goes back.
At San Rosa, is there a name of the group? Like, is there like a like an official club or something?
Yeah, exactly. It's part of a larger nationwide organization called Amp Guard, is the broader group. There are lots of these kind of big LARP groups that run throughout the country. There's Amp Guard is the one we're in. There's one called Bellegarth. There's one called Daggerir. There's a couple of kind of smaller niche ones, but those are kind of the big three main ones. We are part of a region called Westmarch, which covers California and a couple parts of like Nevada and Arizona. And our local park is called the Barony of the Seven Sleeping Dragons. So we get a little into, you know, the nerdy kind of fantasy realm.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's all very fantasy themed. But the way I got into it was basically, I saw role models. I realized that these people exist and that this sort of hobby happens. And, you know, I've always been into like fantasy movies, fantasy books and stuff like that. Okay. Just kind of not obsessive about it, but kind of just as an interest thing.
Sure.
And I
want to say, like, you know, I'm a general sports guy, like, but But there's nothing wrong with it if you were. Like, there's plenty of people who played D&D growing up.
Yeah.
Was that something you were into? Because I kind of equate the two on some level.
Yeah. It is
in terms of who's interested in D&D in 1985 and who's LARPing in 2017.
Exactly. There's a lot of overlap. And that's kind of those are the people that kind of founded this group back in, you know, the early mid-80s when it started. Is D&D players who wanted to kind of take it out of the basement and get it out onto the field and actually be doing some of this stuff. So I went out there. I actually was not into D&D. I was not into any of that kind of stuff. I played Golden Axe, you know, on the arcade system when I was a kid. And I watched Lord of the Rings, you know, a bunch of times. And I'm into that sort of stuff. But I wasn't really, really heavily into the D&D culture or like any of the kind of more obscure like fantasy novels, stuff like that.
Right.
So I was a casual fantasy fan and I found out that this existed. So I looked them up and I realized that there was a group here in SLO. And I went to check it out and what in my mind, what it was, you know, I'm a writer, as you mentioned, so I go out there and I'm thinking to myself, oh, maybe this will be an interesting article. I'll check out, you know, what it is. And that's what I'm telling myself. But the moment I get out there and I see what's actually going on, it became more than just kind of a curiosity and more like, ooh, what, how do I do this? So I go out there, like a lot of people go out there for a couple weeks. Uh-huh. We'll show up a couple times and just like kind of lurk on the perimeter.
Watch.
Yeah, they'll watch and just see what's going on. And it's usually not long before you actually grab a sword and get out there. The people actually there are really friendly, really welcoming. You may not kind of expect that from a group that looks like this, like what we're doing. But they're actually generally pretty welcoming and generally pretty user friendly. So,
sure.
And there's nothing more exciting for us than when a stranger comes up and just watches for a while and then kind of you can tell that they might want to try it out. And you go up and talk to them and tell them how it works. And so it's fun. We're very welcoming people. But so it took me a couple of weeks showing up and just observing to finally get up the courage to try it out.
Okay.
So what I would describe it as is kind of Dungeons & Dragons meets Adult Dodgeball League.
Or capture the flag.
Kind of capture the flag. Yeah, that's kind of the vibe is you're out there and it's mostly a physical kind of combat sport, but there are those kind of really esoteric, you know, nerdy rules that do come into play with spell casting, costumes, and all that kind of stuff. But but generally the vibe I would say is kind of like an adult dodgeball league, but with costumes.
Okay.
So you get out there and your swords are basically big foam padded sticks, you know, right. In the old days, they were pool noodle wrapped around a PVC pipe. That's really heavy. So the tech has kind of evolved to become more like
the tech,
like a carbon fiber, kite rod or a graphite golf shaft.
Right.
That then gets, you know, you wrap it with foam and some tape and a cloth cover.
Right.
And you just go out and try to wail on each other. It's super fun. And the first couple of the first hour or so of any, you know, park day is usually just basic sparring. You're either doing one-on-one sparring or you line up in two rows and you just get out there and try to kill each other, mutual annihilation, and whichever team ends up killing the other team is the winner.
So I'm sure there's rules about like where you hit somebody with your foam sword. If you hit them in the leg, they have to hop on one leg.
Right.
Hit them in two legs on their knees or something like that.
Exactly.
Right?
The basic rules, the basic mechanics of the game are if you get hit with a weapon on a limb, you lose that limb, which means if it's your arm, you hold it behind your back. If it's your sword arm, you have to switch to the other arm and you're playing with your offhand. You lose that limb if you're hit once in a limb. If you get hit in the torso, then you are dead. And any two limbs is dead. So we're not going to make people hop around or like walk on both knees or you know, be down to like one arm.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like the Monty Python thing. You lose two limbs and you're out.
Okay.
And a death basically usually means you go sit on the sidelines for a designated count, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and then you come back into the game. So
like a video game.
Right, like a video game. You respawn. Yeah, if you're in a battle game, you respawn. So, so kind of the most basic form is two teams lining up and just killing each other. But it gets way more elaborate. People will play, you know, some version of capture the flag or some objective mission where you're trying to like carry something from one side of the field to the other.
Right.
And then in the meantime, you're trying to dodge people who are hitting you with these swords and trying to dodge arrows and whatnot.
So your specific group is fantasy based, and I'm sure there are overarching I guess, game types that you guys probably play within your group. And if you went to a different group that was under a different umbrella organization, they may play games slightly differently. Right. They might have a different rule book on some things, right? And or they may be based in something that's not quite the same fantasy type world that you are. So like in yours, obviously, you're allowed to be an archer, right? Maybe some of them don't allow archers or something. Yeah. Or maybe some of them, you know, are more about being in other planets instead of being, you know, like I'm sure there's like, I was picturing like outer space one. I don't know how you would do that, but like, you know, like I'm sure there's different types of, of I guess settings.
Yeah. The big ones that I've seen just like looking around the internet, I've only played Amped Guard, but the big ones that I've seen are there tends to be fantasy based ones where you're, you know, humans, rangers, you know, elves, orcs, that kind of stuff fighting each other. There's ones that are a little more like dystopian, like futuristic dystopian sort of themed. And there are like zombie kind of themed ones.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So those are kind of connected. But
so some people are zombies and some people are zombie killers. Right, and they maybe switch off throughout.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. And we even have some games that are like that, where it's basically, you know, you've got a team of zombies that's easily killed, but they respawn very quickly. And you know, if you're on the human team, then and you die once or twice a certain amount of times, then you switch to the zombie team and stuff like that. So,
where you're defending the castle,
right? Exactly, you're defending.
Okay. I think I saw the defending the castle from the zombie invaders.
Yeah,
maybe
that's a fun one. Yeah. So, the one thing that Amped Guard is not, or at least the in our area of Amped Guard, that is not super involved with the role playing, which is kind of the intimidating thing that I think a lot of people that are outside of that haven't played before see and think to themselves, oh, this is pretty weird. This might not be for me. The role playing aspect in our group, at least, is not super involved, not super in depth. When you walk up to the group and hang out with them, they're not going to be people, you know, in fake accents who are
totally
you know,
in character,
totally in
for
character
3 hours
time.
Straight.
Exactly. Yeah. They might be in character during the game. They might not. Most people's characters are pretty similar to, you know, their own, you know, normal personas. And they're, you know, a lot of people in our park, you know, have even been playing for years and might not even have like an actual costume, which is, you know, fine. And if you don't have a costume, you can totally still play.
Right.
So the role playing is not.
Can I say you definitely have a costume?
I have a costume. I'm actually not a particularly strong fighter in close hand-to-hand combat, but what I lack in that, I make up for in my outfit.
There are some dudes that get after it when it comes to hitting people too, and I'm like watching this. I'm like, dang, that guy just hit that guy really hard.
Yeah,
like that was not necessary.
Well, and
it's padded. It's not like it's actually going to hurt anybody.
Exactly.
But like,
I mean, well, you can get hurt. There's one weapon called the flail, which is a short staff with a long kind of chain of foam. Which I mean, it's a foam head, it's a foam, you know, thing that you're getting hit with. But you take one of those in the gut, and it might knock the wind out of you a little bit because of the whip of the velocity. So, there have been injuries. I've seen people, you know, throw a shoulder out or get bruised knuckles, get bruises all over. You know, I've seen people hurt a joint or you know get hit in the face. Oh my God! At a big event one time, I shot some guy in the face with an arrow, and the arrows
arrows are way blunt tipped. I'm gonna describe it. It's probably like 3-inch diameter with a sock around it.
Yeah,
that's like foam.
Yeah, exactly. It's three inch diameter foam. You take off the arrowhead so that there's no chance it punches through, and you have to blunt it with like a washer or a penny or something like that to keep the shaft from going through.
Right.
But it's fully foam wrapped. It's thick, dense foam wrapped with softer foam wrapped with a cloth. But you take one of those in the eye, like the head and face are off limits. You know, you're going to make that incidental contact, you know, every once in a while, and you try to avoid it, but it's going to happen.
Right.
But when you do take a shot in the face with one of those things, oh man, you're going to have a black eye for sure.
And when you have, when you're shooting it from far away, it's not like you can always help if you're shooting a long distance.
Right.
Shot.
You know, your shot might just go astray and you can't control that necessarily. Or you shoot someone that. You're aiming for one person, and someone crosses the path of your arrow, and they just take one to the head.
You're not Legolas.
Yeah, it'll ring your bell when it hits you. So, it's full contact. It's and there are some people that have been playing for a long time, are really good, and are big strong people. It's not like
there's some big dudes out there.
Yeah, exactly. You see, if you go into it just having seen, you know, role models or whatever, you're thinking to yourselves, these are like waify little nerds that live in their mom's basement. Like, this is not something to be afraid of. But you get out there, and it's all different kinds of people that play. Some of them are very athletic. Some of them are very big and strong.
There's
there's
women, girls.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a more of a gender mix than you would assume.
Yeah.
So it kind of draws a broad cross section of people, but it's it can get intense. But it's at the end of the day, actually, it is all in good fun. Like the thing that you see on Role Models with the douchebag king who's like dominating everybody, and the people who are like way too into it for their own good.
Right.
That doesn't really happen in real life. That's one of the ways where that movie doesn't quite hold up to the reality of it.
Right. I mean, they had to make it that way for the drama. Right.
But in real life, it's just a bunch of people that really enjoy being together and are just, they all know that they're there for the fun. And it's fun.
One part of it that's interesting to me is just the competitive part of it. Because I think there's a part of me that like thinks that if I went out there and I actually like started trying, then I would really want to try.
Yeah.
And then I might really start to get like more competitive than I should be out there.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe there's a fine line, and maybe for some people that's an easy line to toe.
Yeah.
Line to figure out. But I don't know, when I was trying to picture doing it, I picture like the competitiveness part of it, you know, from more traditional sports coming out and being like, I want to win.
Oh yeah,
and like,
absolutely.
And you know, does anybody ever lose it when they get like, when they start getting like killed a lot? Or like,
that is rare. Right. What I have seen,
I don't lose it is maybe a
right. No. And it's that is rare. I think there are some people that are generally pretty competitive when it comes down to it, and they want to win, and they, you know, they work themselves. Like I've seen people doing drills and practices throughout the week. I mean, to get good at this game.
Uh-huh.
There was recently an event up in King City where a couple of the California, you know, chapters all got together.
Is there one in King City?
There's not one in King City, but that's where we hold a lot of our like statewide events.
Is there a park there that's really good?
Yeah, there's a big park called San Lorenzo Park. And actually in like two weeks, I'm going up there for an event called Dark Shore, which is just a big meetup. We camp for like 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
And everyone just, I mean, there's battle games kind of staggered throughout the day. And in the meantime, everyone hangs out, you know, hoist a pint of ale, a pint of mead, and
we
feast together. We're generally in costumes more or less all weekend, and it's super fun.
Nice.
So there was recently an event where
kind of like an alternative camping Comic-Con.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So there was recently an event up there at that same location where everyone, a bunch of people just got together, and they had some really good fighters from, you know, all across the country come and just teach workshops on how to get better at that, the basic sword fighting. So people will get really into it and very competitive. At the local park days, I don't usually see people like going to extreme measures to win, like to you know, prove themselves to be the best or whatever. Like you kind of know who's a better fighter than you, and you know, either you work to change it or you accept it. But what I have seen is people get upset at cheating because it is all honor system. You know, you have to call your own shots. So if you get hit, you have to tell the person and that's how you lose. Yeah. There's not usually like a referee watching each fight saying like, oh no, you got hit.
Yeah.
You know, there's not like a system or anything. It's just, you know, if you feel like you got hit, you call yourself dead.
Paintball is similar that way sometimes where like maybe the paintball doesn't explode or something, but it hits somebody or like it's like under your armpit and you're like, oh, I'm going to hide my arm. You know,
you know you got hit. So it's up to you whether you want to have the honor to call it or not.
Yep.
So what I do see is some people, you know, what's called sloughing, where you get a shot, but you don't necessarily call it. You know, give yourself a little leeway. And when that happens a lot, then people can start getting upset. But people know, like, people can tell when people are doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it generally self-corrects, but I have seen people lose it a little bit there.
About how many people, like, overall and then each week, like, kind of cycle through the park there?
Let's see. Probably at our park,
I already forgot the name of your group.
The Barony of the Seven Sleeping Dragons.
Yeah, so the Barony of the Seven Sleeping Dragons. How many people belong?
We have, on our roster, there's probably 30 or 40 people. Actually, people that show up actively, you know, on a regular basis is probably more like 20.
I was going to say like 15 or 20 the day I was there.
15, 20. On a big day, we'll get, you know, 20 to 25 people out there. On a small day, we've had, I mean, if it's like a holiday weekend, no one's in town. You know, I think we had one around Thanksgiving time where I think 5 or 6 people showed up. And so it gets is a pretty big range, but usually it's somewhere around 15 to 20 people.
Yeah, I'm struck by kind of I guess, similarities to like good pickup basketball games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or like, you know, kind of a pickup whatever kind of a game.
Yeah, it's pickup. There's not like a rigid structure to it. It's just whoever shows up, you know, we split up into teams like you're playing, you know, backyard baseball or whatever. Right. You pick teams and you just go and wail on each other. And it's kind of how whoever shows up is there to play.
Yeah, I was reading up on it just a little bit before, and it seems like, you know, it kind of harkens back to like when you're a kid, you know, and you'd play games or whatever. You know, there were these berries. I grew up in Cayucas on a creek, and there were these, I don't even know what they were. They were some kind of berry or fruit that came off this tree. Yeah. They were like orange, and we would just collect them as much as we could, and then we'd have like wars with them.
Yeah,
right. That we called like a berry war or whatever, and we'd, you know, just like chuck them as hard as we, and they kind of hurt. They're kind of like, you know, marble sized.
Yeah,
they kind of hurt a little bit, and you just, you know, throw them as hard as you could at the other people. And I don't know what the goal was of it, but you know, it's kind of like harkens back to where you'd make up, you know, rules around it, and you'd kind of figure out a way to make it fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And compete about it and think about it in different ways with different rules.
And nothing's on the line, but like it's so important when you're doing it because of, you know, the imagination you put into it, the creativity you put into it, and just the effort and the excitement.
Yeah.
And we'll even do that. I mean, talking about like made up games when you're a kid, if you ever played, you know, like the floor is lava sort of games.
Yeah, my daughter's doing it right now. She's 3 and she's, you know, in the bathroom, there's 2 bath mats and the rest of it is water.
Yeah.
And you have to jump over the water onto the boats.
Exactly.
That's what you have to do.
We will do that. We'll stake out some ropes and draw boundaries, and you can't step over this line because this is a castle wall, and you can't step over this line because this is lava, this is an infinite abyss or whatever.
Right.
And it's, you know, you bring imagination to it. Even if there's not a lot of the traditional role-playing involved in it, you still bring a lot of imagination to it, and now, that's what makes it fun.
Now, park to park, is there more or less of the actual, like, role-playing, being in character? Do you ever go to, like, a park in L.A. or a park in, I don't know where you would go, where there's more people, you know, higher density, maybe it's a little bit more kind of a serious
a
park
serious,
or whatever.
Within AmpGuard, I think there are some parks that are a little more role play, a little more take it seriously. But for the most part, as an organization, AmpGuard is one of the groups that's a little more about the just kind of the physical game and the camaraderie.
Yeah.
And less about like the really intense in-depth role playing. Again, like their costumes and stuff, like costumes and characters are always encouraged, but they're never like required. Like you can't, if you show up in jeans and a t-shirt, you can still play.
Nobody's going to be a jerk to you for not having the right stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's always loner gear. You don't have to have your own equipment. You can usually, you know, grab a sword just from the pile when you show up. But there are, the other organizations are tend to be a little more, I think, role play heavy and
official about it, and like they highly encourage you probably to to wear costumes to have like a character that you're developing.
And there are ones that are actually not so much of like a club that you're in, but more of an event that you go to. I've seen online there are events like that are big standing kind of regular events. You pay $300 or $400 to go up there. You show up, and the requirements are that you have to show up with an elaborate costume. You don't bring your cell phone out. You don't, you have to stay in character the whole time, and you have to have the elaborate death. If you take a sword to the chest, you don't just tap out. You die on the field. Yeah, exactly. And those are more the hardcore LARPs, that, you know, people will sign up and again pay hundreds of dollars to go to these events. Whereas as kind of the standing groups like AmpGuard are, you know, you show up and you come as you are, and, you know, again, costumes are encouraged but not required.
Interesting. Yeah. So there's the whole kind of system and culture around it and organization around it. I'm sure the organizations want to be encouraging, but also, you know, they want to be able to sustain the organization too. So I'd imagine it's kind of like a club that's a chapter of it, and that you're paying like chapter dues, and you probably get something for it, and
that
kind of thing too. If you like it, you know you could probably try it a few times, and if you like it, you know, they probably encourage you to join.
Yeah, generally the way kind of new members are inducted in is you show up a couple times. Once you're there for a couple of weeks, people try to get to know you, honestly. They try to get to know you and encourage you to join up if they think you really have an interest in it. We'll talk to you and we'll show you how to make your own sword. Someone might even like volunteer to make you a sword, make you a tunic or whatever.
Are there people that are kind of like specialists at that are in your group?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of people that are there, not for the sword fighting, not for the combat or the game itself, but are there as color, as, you know, support, in a support role. So there's a lot of people that are there
a
for the
crew
crafting.
Or something like that. I saw that it was like, I was looking, there's like a crew sometimes that's there and they're like helping with other parts of it.
Right. So they're helping set up. They're there, you know, kind of doing some referee duties, or there's a lot of people that are in it for the crafting. Honestly, there are people that will get really into the making of the weapons, into the making of the costumes, into you know, stuff like that. So we'll actually have competitions a couple times a year. We get together and we have a special day where it's not just the fights; it's also like a crafting contest.
Like,
so
you show
up, yeah, a little bit of a fair. So you show up, and if you've made some kind of medievally sort of themed dish, you can share that with everybody and get judged on it. If you made a tunic or a cape, or made a new weapon that's really elaborate and fancy, fancier than like the basic sword, you know, the basic boffer sword, we'll do competitions for the arts and sciences, we call it. So
nice. You're the only archer that I saw there that day that I was there. How many are there, and how unique is that, and what are some other kind of unique, I guess, roles that people play on there?
There are a few archers. A lot of people just kind of have that ability, and it's not necessarily the primary thing they play. I'm probably one of like five people that regularly or semi-regularly will bring out the bow. Most people, generally, the standard configuration of weapons is you go out there with either two swords or like a sword and a shield. That's kind of what most people do. Basically, when you go, if you're kind of getting more into it, you pick a class basically that you play. So those classes are Scout, which is kind of the traditional Aragorn sort of ranger sort of thing. Mm-hmm. There's Warrior, which is kind of you're playing as kind of a knight or a big, you know, someone with, you know, armor, shield, sword. Uh-huh. There's something like Barbarian, where you're emphasizing more kind of like brute strength, kind of brute force sort of gameplay.
It takes a lot more hits to kill you or something.
Well, each of these come with certain abilities.
Right,
so, and that's where kind of the more of the imagination stuff comes into play. And then there are things that are like magic casters, whereas people who are playing as a wizard. So you'll be throwing spell balls or like casting spells on people with, you know, verbal chants that you have to do, and the person has to understand what you're saying and take the hit, take a, you know, freeze in place.
Some kind of mesmer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's where you have to really know like kind of the more like elaborate rules.
That was honestly my favorite guy to watch when I was out there.
Yeah.
The guy who was sitting there just casting spells and just like pointing at people and telling them things and just totally into it. One thing that, like, you know, if there's something that I just, it's why I'm so into sports, honestly, is just like when people are just like crazy passionate about something.
Fully committed.
And fully committed. I think it's like a life lesson on some level too.
Exactly.
But, you know, when you're fully committed and as passionate as that guy who I saw in his robe that was casting spells on people, it's awesome. It's an awesome thing to watch. It's got to feel, you know, you feel great. You know, nothing bad can happen. I mean, I think whatever. I think all the good things in life happen when you're that passionate about something. I honestly believe that. And so when I see guys, whether they're fighting and, you know, slamming each other with their swords, or whether, you know, I'm at a baseball game or a basketball game and I see, you know, whatever's going on, like when you're in the moment there and you're that passionate in the moment, that's something that's really fun for me to partake or take in or whatever. And we all have things that we're hopefully that passionate about, and that's really fun to check out and watch. I think, you know, I think, you know, some people at their job or wherever are like, man, I just want to get to that thing that I'm passionate about, you know? And
exactly.
And for some people, this is what they're passionate about. And that's one of the reasons why it's really, why it was fun to watch when I was there.
Dude, and it's so much fun to play. I mean, honestly, I really recommend everyone just at least check it out. Like, set aside your preconceived notions about like, oh, this is a nerdy thing. Like, this is, you know, this is only a certain kind of person does this. And, and we actually had one of the, when I was first kind of getting into it, we saw a guy that came up. He was kind of hanging back with his friends, and you could tell they were kind of like making fun of it, like watching.
You guys probably get that some.
Yeah, yeah.
People around the park who are yelling at you.
Probably 20 times a day, we get people honking as they drive by, yelling.
What do you think about that?
Yelling things at
us. I mean, because honking could be like, yeah, this is awesome.
Right, and you can tell, like, if you kind of watch them go by, you can tell which ones are like, oh, that's crazy, or oh, that's awesome, or just like, you know, kind of wanting to be part of it.
Right.
But there's also the people that are like, nerds, and it's, right, you know, whatever.
like The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Judge if you want, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly that. It's the passion. And it's, you know, if you just set aside what you think this is and just get out there and be as involved as you want to be, or, you know, if you don't want to be any more involved, that's, you know, stop at that point. That's fine. It's just something that's super fun and to get into. And even if you just approach it as like, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to, you know, get together with a bunch of people and I'm going to hit them with sticks and then I'm going to go home. That's totally fine. And it's still super fun.
Right. Right. Yeah. It just really seems like it. So in terms of, I guess, like, if somebody wanted to know when you guys are out there, is it Saturdays or Sundays?
It's Saturday afternoon, almost every Saturday, unless it's, you know, actively raining or whatever.
Yeah.
There's almost always someone out there on a Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4.
Is at the Santa official Rosa hours. Park?
Yeah, or sometimes, I mean, if the sun's going down later, we'll just go until everyone feels like
too
tired.
Sure.
But we start at 1, Santa Rosa Park, Saturday afternoons, right there at the corner by the gas station.
Yep.
And if you drive by, look for me. I'm the guy. I probably show up twice a month ish. I'm one of the more sporadic players, but I love it.
Larry's got a little Robin Hood vibe.
Yeah, he's the one out there in green and tan. I play as a ranger. I usually play the scout class. Usually shooting a bow. My character name is Stagwood.
Stagwood.
Yeah. So everyone picks a name.
I love it.
Everyone picks their character name.
I love it.
You can change.
How'd you come up with that?
No real reason. I don't know. I was getting into it, and I just it occurred to me, and I was like, okay. I've got a stag head with antlers and everything on my shield and on some of my garb. I've got my
that's right. You got a shield on your back and your what's the holder for the arrows?
The quiver.
Quiver. Yeah. Right.
You go out there and you can have a shield. You can have bows, arrows, you have throwing axes, you know.
There's guys with throwing axes. I forgot about that. That's crazy too. Is there like a online place that people can go check out your group or the group at large?
Yeah, the group at large is I think it's AmptGard, AmptGard.org. Yeah, AmptGard. AmptGard.org, I think, is the main website for the organization.
Uh-huh.
Our group you can find on Facebook. It's again, Barony of the Seven Sleeping Dragons on Facebook.
Barony of the Seven Sleeping Dragons.
Or just look up Seven Sleeping Dragons on Facebook and you'll see us.
Yeah, and
really, everyone should check it out.
And you guys are pretty friendly, obviously.
We're so friendly.
And kid-friendly, too, I saw.
Yeah, my kids have actually played a couple of times. On a day where it's a little slower, the kids can come out and play. Officially, the rule is you have to be either with your guardian if you're 10 or up, you can play, or you have to be 14 and up with a guardian's permission, but they don't have to be there necessarily.
Okay.
But my kids are 6 and 8, and they've actually every once in a while gotten into the game. Just like if we'll come up with a special game where they're, you know, they're pretending to be a volcano, so they just stand off to the sides and just throw spell balls and throwing weapons at people, and no one can attack them. You know, we don't want the little kids to get hit in the face or whatever. They're playing as an archery turret or a volcano or some, you know, monster that can only throw and is invincible.
Right.
But we'll come up with rules to make sure that the kids can get into if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, if they're amped too, and
it's
pretty awesome. Next issue of Cal Poly Magazine. When's it come out?
Comes out end of June. We've got some big news that we're putting out in the magazine, and a tribute to Phil Bailey, the longtime dean of the College of Science and Math, who's retiring after like 47 years at Cal Poly.
Wow.
It's gonna be a good issue, hopefully.
Awesome.
And that's my day job.
But that'll be like right around graduation.
Yeah.
Not to like.
A little after graduation.
A little after graduation.
Like end of June, I think, is when we're going
to
come out.
Okay, cool. Right on. Yeah. Not to like bring all that in, but, you know, kind of tie it back up.
I mean,
get a plug in for it.
That's the other main thing that I'm thinking about.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If you're a Cal Poly alum and you don't get Cal Poly Magazine, how can you?
Visit magazine.calpoly.edu. You can submit class notes, submit your updates. You can pitch us a story. You can sign up to receive a paper copy of the magazine. And the magazine's always online, every issue. Magazine.calpoly.edu.
Yeah, and you guys have been doing a really good job of putting video content on there too.
Yeah, we try to keep it fresh and give people a reason to go to the website as well as look at the pages.
Kind of on an ongoing basis too, because it comes out what, 3 or 4 times a year?
We do three issues a year, but we try to get some stuff up there in between.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Thanks a lot, Larry. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com. Well,
been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they beat me up till I'm black and blue.